Welcome to the Manifest Program with Perry Stone. Recently, the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit these words, prophetic acceleration and the coming impact. I'm going to explain to you in a moment what prophetic acceleration is. This is going to be one of the most interesting messages, I think, that we have presented to our worldwide audience in some time. The Bible talks about the times and seasons. The disciples asked Jesus, and this is recorded in Acts chapter 1, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Christ replied, "It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power, but go tarry in Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high." Now, if we look at the word times and seasons, the word times are specific dates when events are planned and then they occur. For example, May 1948 was a specific date when Israel was restored as a nation. June 1967 was a specific date of the Six-Day War when Jerusalem was reunited as the capital of Israel. 1988 was a specific time frame when the Russian Jews began to return out of Russia back to the land of Israel. So times are specific time frames, chronological time frames, when an event happens that is planned by God Himself, which is a fulfillment of specific prophecies. Now, what are seasons? Because Jesus spoke of times and seasons. Seasons usually refers to the Moedim, or the seven festivals of Israel. Now, I won't go into this, but all of the seven festivals have a prophetic application to the Messiah, his crucifixion, burial, his resurrection, his birthing the ecclesia, which is the church, and the fall festivals, the three that are coming in the fall that refer to events which will happen soon in the future. Now, when these times and seasons begin to collide and they begin to fulfill direct prophecies, it's called convergence. And this convergence is simply when signs are converging all at once. Luke wrote it this way. He said that Christ said, "When all these things, all the things he spoke as a sign, begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh." But our subject today is actually prophetic acceleration. Now, I want you to really follow me carefully, because if you do, you're going to find this very, very interesting. The first major prophetic acceleration that I want to deal with is, and this is not necessarily the first one, it's the first one I want to share with you, is from the birth of Jesus Christ to the crucifixion, which was a period of 33 years. Now, in the Old Testament after the flood, remember this, that 32 to 35 years was the average time when a man fathered a son. And this is after the flood. So this 32 to 35 year time frame can go back to the Old Testament period. Now, in the time of Christ, notice this. Why did Jesus come when he did? And the answer is this, that the Roman Empire, which was ruling at that day, or even the Grecian Empire prior to that, had not prepared things for the gospel to go around the world. Let me explain this. The gospel was going to go around the world and people were to be converted and baptized. But in order to do that, some things were required. First of all, the ships were ready by the time the Roman Empire came into existence. And I say came into existence when they began to rule the known world. And at the birth of Christ, there were ships that connected Asia and Africa to Israel. And so that's one point. A second point of acceleration was the Romans also built a massive network of roads leading out of Rome throughout the entire Roman Empire. So the roads were ready. They call it the Roman Road. Then money was ready. Both the Romans and the Greeks had coinage of different type, which was used throughout the Roman Empire and throughout Asia and throughout parts of Africa. Number four, the language was ready. Now, the Hebrew people spoke Hebrew. You had the Romans that spoke Latin and you had the Greeks that spoke Greek. But the New Testament, for example, was written in the Koine or the common Greek language. So the language that that everyone spoke in the Roman Empire, now let me say it this way, I want to retract that. People spoke different languages throughout the world, but in every city, there was someone who could speak Greek. So if you write the New Testament in the Greek language, someone can read it in Greek and translate it to the people in their native tongue. The people were ready. This is proved by a story in Luke with Simeon and Anna, who had actually waited for the appearing of the Messiah. And when Christ appeared as an infant, Simeon said, "Let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen the salvation of Israel." Anna was a prophetess who also confirmed that Jesus was the Messiah promised to Israel. And the last thing I want to say is the Gentiles were ready. So here's my point. Everything began to accelerate from the moment Christ was born to the time of his crucifixion, because at the crucifixion and resurrection, the gospel would go forth from the day of Pentecost forward. So you had the ships, the roads, the money, you had the language, you had the Gentiles that were open to the gospel. So one verse sums up the acceleration. It's in the book of Galatians, and here's what it says. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So point being, the fullness of time came, and when the fullness of time came, acceleration began. Now look at the second acceleration. The second acceleration was from the crucifixion of Jesus to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. We estimate that that would be approximately a 33-34 year period, depending on when the actual date of the crucifixion occurred. Now watch what is happening. Here we go. Here's the second acceleration, crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus to the time of the destruction. Now Jesus had warned the people in Matthew chapter 23 that all the trouble would come upon them in one generation. Then in Matthew 24, he said that generation would not pass till the things he spoke about concerning Israel, the Jews, and Jerusalem would be fulfilled. Once again, that was about 33 years after it was predicted. So watch carefully what happens. The gospel is going around the world on the Roman roads and in Roman ships. Number two, Nero, who is the emperor of Rome at the time before the destruction of the temple, began persecuting and killing Christians. So there was a great persecution that arose against Christians in the Roman Empire. All of the apostles except one, which was the apostle John, who was the youngest of the 12 original apostles, were martyred by the year 70 AD. Some, they say, could have been martyred in 71, but most scholars agree that by 70 AD, everyone had been martyred of the original apostles, with the exception of the apostle John. Number four, the Jewish rebels that were living inside of Israel in Jerusalem were physically fighting the Romans, and they had a great militia built, so it looked like the rebels were winning until the Romans sent in their 10th legion and other legions to destroy the city of Jerusalem in the year 70. In that 33-year acceleration of prophecy time, the 10th legion and others surrounded the city of Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, burning it to the ground, and also removing the rocks, because the gold from the temple had dripped down the rocks. And when everything cooled off, they literally toppled the stones to strip the layers of gold that were at the temple and carry it back with them. And of course, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. Now, pay attention. Here we go again. There's a 33-year period from the birth of Christ to the crucifixion, a 33-year period from the resurrection of Jesus to the destruction of the temple. Now, another acceleration that began to happen, and we're going to get to modern times in just a moment, but I'm building this case for you, was between the first and the fourth century. Now, this was 300 years. There were 10 persecutions against Christians that ended when Constantine made a declaration in 313 of the legalization of Christianity throughout the Roman Empire. Now, then Constantine then founded what was called the New Rome, which was in the east, which was called it became the Byzantine Empire. So Constantinople, or Byzantium, became the empire of the Byzantine Empire that lasted for well over about 1100 to 1200 years. Also, in the Byzantine Empire, they began to mint silver coins and a lot of gold coins that became very popular throughout the Eastern Empire and actually throughout the world. And then the Byzantine Empire also took Sunday off as a holiday. Now, all of this happened. So from the persecutions of Christians that started in 70 to 90 AD, continued off and on through 10 persecutions up until the time that Constantine legalized Christianity. So there's a period of several hundred years. Now let's go forward in time, because I know what you're interested in. You're saying, hey, all that about Israel and these empires are great, but what about us? Now the reason I shared with you the time frame of 32 to 33 years, some cases 33 to 34, is because we see a lot of activity happening quickly. Now, let's go forward in time to where we are right now. There is huge geomagnetic activity taking place in the sun literally every single day. That geomagnetic activity, believe this or not, affects people in the atmosphere of its, let me reverse that, affects the atmosphere of on the Earth and connects with our magnetic poles and the magnetic activity happening in the Earth. And it affects people's personality. Sometimes it can make people lose strength. Sometimes it can cause people to act a little crazy. And we're not blaming it all on the sun's activity, but this has been proven. So the geomagnetic activity in the sun is increasing because Jesus said there would be signs in the sun in the last days. And of course, solar flares are connected with that, etc. Then we have these very unusual cosmic signs. Now, Jesus put it this way, that in the last days, there would be great and fearful signs from the heaven. Now, when I see these photographs that come from NASA, and they're showing you these constellations and these, you know, all these different pictures. You have one that looks like a crown of thorns. You have one that looks like a hand. And these are gases in the atmosphere of the cosmos of the second heaven. You see ones that look like the shape of eyes. These are wonderful and amazing signs. But then you have what's called A1 Atlas, which everybody's been talking about. What is this? It's come from another galaxy. It's acting strange. It's acting unusual. Some said it was a spaceship. Of course, I believe that's been completely disproven. So we have cosmic activity taking place. Now, don't miss my point. We're talking about the acceleration of prophecy. We're talking about how it's accelerating right now and the reason actually that it is accelerating. Now, we also have not just earthquakes, but we have more frequent earthquakes, and these earthquakes are larger in magnitude. We've had an 8.8, a 7.2, and most of the time if they go from like a 7.4, 7.5 over an 8, definitely it produces the danger of a tsunami. Sometimes it produces maybe a tsunami that's a foot high, and other times it can produce tsunamis such as you saw with the Indonesian tsunami and the Japanese tsunami several years ago. Now, we also have something taking place that according to specialists, when the 8.8 earthquake hit on the Russian peninsula, it began to awaken. I did a YouTube video called Awakening the Abyss, or The Abyss is Awakening, and this explains it more in detail. But we had begun to see more volcanic activity and more earthquakes happening around what is called the Ring of Fire. And what I would like for them to do in a moment, don't do it just yet, but I want to get ready for them to bring up that Ring of Fire. No, as a matter of fact, let's just do that right now. Bring up a map of the Ring of Fire. It's called the Pacific Rim. It's shaped like a horseshoe, and there are between 450 and 900 dormant volcanoes. The problem is when these volcanoes go off, they can affect the cities of the world that are centered around what we call the Ring of Fire. Now, here's what's really, really fascinating, at least to me, that the Ring of Fire has 75% of the world's volcanic activity, 90% of the world's earthquakes, and the number of cities and the population of those cities, if you total the population of the cities that are in the coastal areas or sitting near coastlines of where the Pacific Ocean is, or different oceans with different names can be in that area, you discover that the cities of the nations, the largest cities of the nations, are positioned around the Pacific Rim. Brazil, the west coast of the United States, southern Alaska, all the way over to Russia. I mean, it just forms that shape, as you can see on a map. So the danger is that if this begins to have massive quakes, this will be where a lot of the book of Revelation can be fulfilled, where it says the cities of the nations fell. It will definitely be in the area of the Ring of Fire. Now, my point again, please don't miss my point. My point again is to show you how these things are beginning to accelerate. Now, here's another part that we need to talk about. We need to talk about what is happening in the area of so many wars and rumors of wars that are taking place. For example, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7, Jesus said that one of the indicators of birth pains that would hit the earth, it wouldn't be the end, but it would be a sign that the end is coming, would be the number of wars and rumors of wars. And rumors of wars means threats of wars, speaking about the possibility of wars that would take place all at one time. Now, we have seen the war between Russia and the Ukraine. Many, many lives lost on both sides. We have seen the wars in Israel, the war in the Gaza Strip, the war with Iran, the war in Lebanon, Syria, Yemen. In fact, Israel was fighting recently wars on seven different fronts. Now, talk about wars and rumors of wars. What could be any more clearer than that? Then we also have the conflict that rises up occasionally between the Hindus in India and the Muslims of Pakistan. We also see nations that are having what I call internal shakings in their government. You have situations in France, you have situations in Britain, you have situations in Germany, and you also have, now Jesus said this, nation would rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. In the Greek, one of those phrases translates as ethnos epi ethnos, which means ethnic group rising against ethnic group. And the other translation in the Greek is a Greek word that can actually mean kingdom versus kingdom, but it has a modern implication of religion rising against religion. And we see that with the conflicts in nations involving different types of religions that are fighting each other over their belief systems. Now, here's what I want to tell you. This is what you need to know. There are 45 conflicts taking place globally right now. Some of those conflicts are not like a major conflict between two nations. They are internal. For example, a war against gangs, war against drugs. Some of them are civil uprisings which are taking place. Now, I want to say something to you that's very, very important, and I want you to hear this because this shows you how everything is accelerating. However, here's the things that I want to tell you prophetically. These are the major ones that I believe are prophetic acceleration. So some of these pictures, we'll throw some pictures up on the screen to illustrate this. First of all is peace in the Middle East. Now remember, I want you to go back and watch the YouTube video where I talked about that peace comes first and then destruction. That verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. They shall cry peace and safety. And that word safety can also mean security in the Greek word. They shall cry peace and security, but then sudden destruction will come. And Paul wrote, and he said this, "You who believe are not in darkness, that these times overtake you unaware, but the world is in darkness." They don't see it and they don't understand it. So the idea of peace in the Middle East is only temporary. And I know that you have world leaders who want it the other way, but the scripture has already spoken on this. So you will see peace, peace, peace. Everybody will be talking about it. We need to sign agreements. But you're going to still see uprisings and outbursts. And even if certain groups are destroyed, you cannot, the leper cannot change its spots. And so individuals that have hate will continue to have hate. Then there is a lot of talk, and this is gaining more popularity now, of what's called a Palestinian state, which has been called all the way back in the time of that I can remember, at least, of Jimmy Carter. They've talked about a two-state solution. Now, what's a two-state solution? Well, the two-state solution is that the Palestinians would have a state of their own, and then Israel would have a state of its own, and somehow they would work together. Now, let me share with you, and I'm just going to make this very clear so you can understand. Let's throw up a map of Israel. If you notice, the Gaza Strip is near the border of Egypt and Israel. And honestly, no one in the Arab world wants anything to do with the Gaza Strip. That's a fact. Egypt doesn't want anything to do with it. They cooperate, but they don't want to own it and deal with a Palestinian state there. So that's one area they've discussed. But watch this. Between Gaza and what's called the West Bank, we need a map of the West Bank there that shows, there is the land of Israel. Now, in order to join Gaza and the West Bank, you'd have to give up all of southern Israel for a Palestinian state, and that would go all the way into Bethlehem, all the way into Jericho, all the way into areas especially that have a Jewish population and Jewish settlements. Then you have the entire West Bank, which once was controlled by the country of Jordan. So then you have the Syrians in the north that say they want the Golan Heights back. So what does Israel become? It is a county. It's no longer a state. It's just a little tiny piece of property was surrounded by all these different individuals. Now, I have a lot of Palestinian friends, and I said to them, if a Palestinian state is formed, what do you do with people from Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon, and all these other places that want to pour into that state? He said, this man called me brother. He said, brother, millions of people would pour in, and there would be no jobs or no income or work for them. And he said, honestly, it would be very, very difficult to handle the influx of people. So this sounds simple to just give a piece of property up and form a state. But my point is, it's very complicated. So if you want to read a little bit about how this works, Ezekiel 38, 35 and 10, I'd put the verses up, but I don't have time. Ezekiel 37, 22, we'll talk to you about, these two nations shall be ours. It's a prophecy. So they're going to head in that direction. Third is the final outpouring of the Spirit, Joel 2, 28, 29. We have been dealing with that. And fourth is AI, which is definitely the beast system, which will rise eventually in the future in Revelation chapter 13. Now, these are the four things: peace in the Middle East, the talk of the Palestinian state, the final outpouring of the Spirit, the system of the beast that's being developed right now. And all these things, listen, are a part of end time prophecy and prophetic acceleration. I just want to give the believers a good word around the world, and that is that Jesus said when these things, all these things that the scripture talks about that are happening now, when they begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And that's the good word that I have for you today. We're living in the days of prophetic acceleration, which means the Messiah is coming. I want you to get my brand new book, Prophetic Alert, Identify Prophetic Triggers That Lead to the Rapture and the Great Tribulation. These are messages I've never preached before. I decided to put them in book form. Watch this.
Perry Stone is now making available his new landmark book, Prophetic Alert. Stunning new insights reveal what is coming soon, which explores and explains numerous often unknown and untaught prophetic triggers that will lead to the rapture and the future Great Tribulation. Here are some of the 20 chapters: Ezekiel's War and the Rapture Link, the confusion over who is Gog of Magog, God versus Gog, Big Hooks and Little Jaws, How Can the Antichrist Overpower a Militarily Armed Israel? Iran, Land of the Assassins and the Gate of the Gods. The Spirit of Cain in the Land of the East. Satan's Main Principality Ruling in Middle East Nations. The Coming Angelic Cosmic Wrestling Match. Why Do Many Muslims Dislike the Jews and Israel? The Prophetic Vision of the Serpent in Gaza. When the Abyss Releases the Destroying Angel. Kings of the East and 1.5 billion Hindus in prophecy. When a dead head rises again. God's four weapons of destruction that are coming. Does the Bible hint at a nuclear war? You will learn great prophetic insight from these chapters and more. When you order the Prophetic Alert book with your gift of $25 or more, Perry will also select and include in this offer a mystery CD, a surprise audio message on CD. To order, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. Or write to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. When writing, include your payment and offer number AB151. This is a very timely and important prophetic read for every Christian and all who love Bible prophecy. Your purchase is what helps keep Manifest on the air worldwide. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Man, I did a YouTube video in which I said the peace that they're trying to make is temporary, because the Bible says they'll cry peace and safety and sudden destruction will come upon them. Well, here's the book that you need to read. If you don't have this, I want to encourage you to order it from our ministry at perrystone.org. Immediately get it into your hands. Sit down. It's winter time, and you know a lot of folks are in for the winter. This is the time to get the books and read the books. This is the time to, you know, put the audio CDs, the DVDs on, whatever you can. and feed yourself the revelation of God's Word. Now, just so that you'll know, we have different events that will be coming up, and the best thing to do is to go to perrystone.org itinerary to look for these. But I'm coming January 23rd, 24th, and 25th in Sanford, Florida. Now, I've never been there to preach before. Riverwalk Church, Pastor Dr. George Stevens, a powerful evangelist in his own right, and that's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and that's again January 23rd through 25th. Then I'm going to come for the Sunday service all day at Evangel World Prayer Center, Pastor Bob Rogers in Louisville, Kentucky, February the 1st. I'll be coming to the West Virginia Church of God Prayer Conference in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, hosted by Bishop Billy Claypool, February 23rd and 24th. And it's at the Bethesda Church there in the area of White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. And I do not want you to forget Warrior Fest at the end of March, the Prophetic Summit at the end of April, and don't forget the Israel trip that's coming in May, and also Pam's birthday cruise, which is happening in September. And especially if you're interested in going to Israel, you need to look at that in, you know, the earliest possible to ensure that there's a seat there. A lot of people are going back to the Holy Land. So these are some things that's going to be coming up. And also, Bill Cloud and I will be doing a special event, Inside Information, and it's going to be what we call a pay-per-view event, very minimal cost, because I have to pay people to come in and run this stuff. It's going to be on Sunday, 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock, February 15th. So be looking for that to be announced on Facebook, social media, and also at perrystone.org. So there's a lot of things that's taking place. Just a quick update. The museum, where my sister is still working hard on each item, ordering tables, doing a lot of things, and we're hoping 2026 will be the year that the relic display will be available at the OCI property. We're also wanting you to pray for us for our children's outreach. Now, listen, the people that are running this, my son and daughter-in-law, already have jobs. And so they're trying to get this done on the side. There is a lot to do. There's lights to hang. There's floors to put in. And just a lot of things to do. We need your prayers. And we thank you for your support. Some of you that have supported the children's outreach. And let me just add that when we come to the end of the year, a month of December, we have a lot of airtime that comes due throughout the year and so many other things we're doing. Thank you. If you could send a generous gift, an end of the year gift to Voice of Evangelism Ministry, Perry Stone Ministries, you have no idea how it's appreciated, because this gives us what we need to do the many things that we're going to be doing in 2026. Thank you, though, for your time, your prayers, and God bless you.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2026 Israel tour. The dates are May 12th through the 21st. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. For more information and how to register, scan the QR code on the screen or visit perrystone.org. Seating is limited, so contact us today.